morning and welcome to St. Macar's Ronfurly Church on Sunday the 26th of April. We are going to try some new things today, which is to have the lyrics of the hymns projected over the music, so you're very welcome to sing along. There will be one new hymn which I have volunteered, or rather sacrificed myself, to actually sing it, so we get to learn a new hymn. The theme of this service will be about lifelong learning, about learning new things all throughout our lives as disciples of Jesus. We are never quite done learning, and I guess this will be a case in point. First, let us pray. God of our past, present, and future, you journey with each of us through the heights and depths of our lives. You are there in every moment, there in our learning and our growing, in our succeeding and in our failing, in our giving and receiving, our questioning and our wondering, following and guiding within the ebb and flow of our faith. God, who invites us to live life in all its fullness, may we love you more as we welcome each other. Jesus, who calls us to follow, may we hear your voice as we share with each other. Holy Spirit, who dwells within, may we know your peace and strength as we seek to shape our discipleship. Amen. We have been reading from Matthew's Gospel from Christmas onwards, and we've now really come to the last chapter. We've heard 2 weeks ago the account of the resurrection, the women meeting Jesus at the grave, and they were told to tell the disciples to go to Galilee where Jesus would meet them. And that final scene is where we've got up to now. So we see the disciples meeting Jesus in Galilee. This final chapter, or even these final few verses that are quite familiar that we will read in a moment, these draw three key themes together that have been present throughout Matthew's Gospel. Matthew has been keen to demonstrate that Jesus is God's new King, the promised Messiah. And in this final chapter, Jesus says, "All authority on earth and in heaven is given to me." So Jesus is presented as God's ultimate king. Secondly, Matthew had also said at the very start of his gospel that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And although during his earthly ministry, Jesus's divinity hasn't been at the forefront, now at the very end of the book, Jesus having been raised from the dead, it becomes clear that Jesus is more than just a man or a teacher. And we read that the disciples fall down and worship him. Also, Jesus himself in the very last verse says, "I am with you always." That "I am" saying is going back to Emmanuel, God with us. And finally, Matthew has made a lot of Jesus as a teacher. He has structured his book, his account of Jesus' life, around five chunks of teaching, and has placed a lot of emphasis on Jesus' authority as a teacher. And here in this final passage, we see that Jesus now tells his pupils, his disciples, "You now go and teach. You now go and make disciples on my behalf." So the disciples become disciple makers, and that is what we will be looking at, that we are all lifelong learners who in turn make other disciples, make other lifelong learners. So let us read Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."On two things that we learn from this passage, that being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, means we are to be lifelong learners, and secondly, that disciples become disciple makers. First, this idea that being a disciple, a pupil, or a follower of Jesus means that we are to be lifelong learners. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before, it's been around for a while. I actually looked up the Wikipedia definition of lifelong learning, and it says this: it's the ongoing, voluntary, and self-motivated pursuit of knowledge for either professional or personal reasons. So ongoing, voluntary, and self-motivated pursuit of knowledge. Most of us, when we've been in work or we are in work, will occasionally need to do training courses or go to conferences just to skill up and to make sure we stay up to date with what we need to do, what we need to know and be able to do in order to do our jobs well. Some of you might have retrained altogether if you've switched careers at any point. And it's not always easy to do, and there can come a moment where we get a little bit weary of having to do yet another course or starting out on another track. It's demanding, and I guess the older we get, the harder it is to do. But even outside the world of work, we all really are lifelong learners. We can't really not be lifelong learners. There are always new situations, or we are presented with new technology or new tools that we have to get the hang of and be able to use. I'm sure many of you have had to get your head around new technologies, even in the past few weeks. Perhaps you have had to work out how to do more with your phone or your tablet or with the computer, things that normally weren't as important, or you maybe weren't that motivated to use, now suddenly become much more essential to keeping in touch with family or friends. And for me, for example, although I wouldn't say I'm a technophobe, but suddenly I've had to use my phone and my computer in many new ways to try and record these services, to process the various video clips, and then try to get them back onto the internet. It's not been that straightforward at times, and it's caused some amount of stress. I feel I'm sort of getting the hang of it, but then there's always new challenges and other people using other technology and finding other ways to do this. Some of us might quite like learning new things, and perhaps you know, out of your own volition, sign up for courses or activities because you like to stretch yourself and you like to keep yourself occupied. But sometimes when we are feeling overwhelmed or the learning is forced on us, we can feel tired and frustrated as well. And especially at a time like this, I'm sure a lot of us can relate to that, just feeling a bit weary with all the new things that we have to get our head around. Jesus' disciples, in particular the 11 that now remain of the 12, they have been learning, they have been spending time with Jesus as apprentices, traveling with him for 3 whole years, and so they've had lots of opportunities to learn. They've seen Jesus teach, they've seen him do the healings, he's answered their questions, they've had lots of conversations. So they were very much, being taught and learning all the time. But the events of the past few weeks will have been very traumatic for them, and there was a lot of new learning to do. They had witnessed Jesus getting more and more into conflict with the authorities in Jerusalem, and then one of their own, Judas, betraying Jesus, handing him over, Jesus getting arrested, abused, and put on a cross. They had had all these ideas about what they were meant to do and what would happen to Jesus and him as the new king. They'd maybe envisaged what kind of jobs they would be given and what they could do. And suddenly all of that has disappeared, and actually they've been scared, they've fled away. Peter has denied Jesus, and all their concepts of who they were and what they would be doing have collapsed and crumbled. They hadn't understood what was happening, and they hadn't followed through with their good intentions to stick with Jesus. And now the resurrection has happened, and they have to process that. Even though Jesus had talked about this, they just couldn't quite grasp it, understandably so. So they're still very much trying to get their heads around what has just happened. And we have heard that Jesus had told them to go to Galilee, the area where his ministry had started, and also the area they were from. So they're back on home turf. And now he meets with them. We can forgive the disciples for struggling to keep up, for being confused, maybe, or hesitant in knowing how to respond to Jesus when they do meet him again. And yet, before they've even had a chance to ask any questions or to share how they feel, Jesus gives them a new commandment. He's telling them to go make disciples, baptize and teach, not just the people of Israel, but all the nations till the end of the earth. Well, if I'd been one of them, I would have had lots of questions, and I would have objected to Jesus that I had no idea how I was going to be able to fulfill this task that he'd given me. Perhaps you, like me, have in the past few weeks and months have asked yourself, what does it mean now to be a disciple of Jesus in these very changed circumstances? Most of us can hardly leave the house, and how can we now still put into practice what Jesus asks of us? It is requiring a major rethink. There is a lot of new learning for us all to do. I'm sure the disciples didn't feel quite ready or equipped for what was coming next, and yet it doesn't stop Jesus asking them this, telling them this. Being a disciple of Jesus means being a lifelong learner. We need to go back time and time again over Jesus' teaching, over the Gospels, over the rest of the Bible, and think it through again and again. Because even though the Word of God doesn't change, our world changes all the time, and our own lives, the situations that we're faced with, they change. So every day and every week, God's Word is fresh to us because the circumstances have changed. We need to discern what Jesus is calling us to do in our time and in our place. Perhaps sometimes we tend to think of being a Christian as being something fairly static, unchanging. And we can see church membership like that too. You subscribe or sign up to something perhaps quite a long time ago, and that's it. It carries on. Maybe like an entitlement. But the first Christians were known as followers of the way of Jesus. It wasn't a static thing, it was a journey, a way of obedience and a way of lifelong learning. I wonder if I ask you, does that describe your discipleship? Ongoing, voluntary and self-motivated. Are those the kind of things that would describe you as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you still learning? We are, especially in these circumstances when we can't meet together, we can't talk together, we can't come to worship in the normal way, we're more thrown back at ourselves in many ways. And I wonder what you do to keep yourself grounded in Jesus' teaching and his presence. Are you taking ownership of your learning? Are you motivated yourself to pick up the Bible and to read, to pray? And if you don't understand, to dig that little bit deeper, or maybe to order a book with more explanation or on a particular topic. If you want any recommendations, I'm very happy to give these. But of course, it's not just about head knowledge, that kind of understanding. Jesus has said, we are wise when we don't just hear, but do what he teaches. So how do we put into practice what Jesus says? The second point is that true disciples make disciples. If we keep learning from Jesus, living it out, applying it to change circumstances, then what we do will rub off on others. We might not feel very qualified to be disciple makers. Perhaps we're not even sure how to talk about our faith with other people. But I've been thinking this week, as I've been sitting alongside our 8-year-old trying to help her a bit with her math and her English, and occasionally also having to assist with the teenagers. It's a bit like homeschooling. Maybe disciple making is a bit like the homeschooling that we are all, or many of us are doing at the moment. We may not be trained to be proper teachers, but by coming alongside and trying to remember the basics of what we were taught back in the day, we might actually discover that we can help, and that our being there and sharing what we do know and trying to find a solution together is perhaps the most important thing. And when it comes to the children, a lot of what we do as parents and how we are in our interactions is far more important than what we say. So perhaps we should think of disciple making in a similar way. What we do, life together with our family, with our neighbours and friends, our colleagues, may be far more important in being disciple makers. Our character and our responses to situations are going to be far more impactful than just our words. Jesus' instruction to the disciples to make disciples is sandwiched between a statement and a promise. It starts with the statement, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me." That is good to know. Even if our human words aren't super impressive, Jesus' words carry their own authority and power. And I would encourage you to trust Jesus' words, his stories, his sayings. We can share these, and we need to bring them to our own mind first, and perhaps they will be applicable to share with others when the time is right. Jesus has all authority, and his words have authority in their own right. Then the promise, "I am with you always to the end of the age." That is hugely reassuring when we are sent out into the world to be disciple makers, perhaps unsure of our own abilities. "I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus himself is with us as we go and do our best to be faithful disciples of him. With his authority and his presence, you can be assured you've got this. Even little old you, your life, your words, your example, they can all reflect Jesus to the people around you. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for your patience with us as lifelong learners. Sometimes we can be slow to get it, slow to understand what you ask of us. We are not always as motivated and as hungry to learn more about you or your word and your kingdom. And many times we kind of know what you ask of us, but we don't want to do it because it's too hard or inconvenient. Jesus, we pray, help us to be fully aware that all authority in heaven and on earth is yours, that we can trust you in this life, in all circumstances, that we can trust that your kingdom will come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to submit to your authority in all aspects of our life. And at this time of having to figure so many things out from scratch, help us to see how we can be your disciples, how we can be your church with a message of hope for the world. We give thanks for the promise and the assurance of your presence with us until the end of the age. May we be strengthened and guided by your peace-bringing, hope-giving, courage-awakening presence. Help us to use these trying times to draw closer to you, to seek you more, and to love you more. We pray for those who are struggling at this time, struggling mentally, struggling physically. We pray for those frightened and anxious. We pray for those exhausted and at the end of their tether. We pray for those who care, at home for loved ones, now without respite. We pray for those who care as their profession, in care homes, hospitals, doctors' practices, and through care in the community. Give strength and protection from harm. We pray for those who are trying to help others as best they can, sometimes remotely, and sometimes by helping in practical ways. We give thanks for the many examples of neighborly love. We give thanks how many virtues of your kingdom are suddenly recognized and celebrated. Virtues of love, compassion, generosity, and faithfulness. May we ourselves find new ways to live out these virtues, following Jesus' example and teaching. In the silence, we bring our own prayers. Jesus, we thank you, you hear our prayers, that all authority is yours, and that you are with us even to the end of the age. Amen.
Thank you.
And so may we go into the world, whether we are leaving the house or whether we are staying at home, whatever the circumstances, may we be lifelong learners. May we find new ways of serving Christ and loving our neighbor. And go with the blessing and the presence of Christ. And God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.